Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing mortgage rates at all-time lows and back-to-school spending.
Yeah, Joel, not only are we going to talk about how interest rates, they are at all-time lows, but we're also going to discuss what to do if you can't pay your rent. So if you don't own a place, or if you're not looking to own a place, what to do if you are in a renting situation.
Yeah, and back-to-school spending, by the way, I use that term loosely, because I realize a lot of people aren't actually physically going back to school, but there's still money to be spent, right? And there's still things that people need, in particular electronics right now for a lot of their kids who are doing schooling from home.
There are deals to be found, man. Speaking of electronics, real quick, are you still rocking your bone conduction wireless headphones?
I sure am, yeah.
Where like the sound vibrates through your skull bones.
Yeah, I really like they're the Aftershocks brand. I guess there are probably a couple of different brands, but they're by far the most well-known. And yeah, I really, really like them. I have a pair of over-the-ear headphones too that I use sometimes. But
for your serious listening,
yeah,
you don't want any noises.
It just kind of depends what I'm doing. And especially if I'm riding the bike and I want to listen to something like on my bike commute, I love the bone conduction headphones for that, because you can also hear what's going on around you when it comes to pedestrian or car noise.
Yeah, it's like having multiple inputs for your brain. In those situations, I just pull one of my earbuds, and so I just go 50-50.
There you go. Both work.
Well, the reason I ask is I just got some super cheapo Amazon Lightning Deal earbuds. I've been rocking like these old school ones, the kind that like sits over your neck, and then like the wires come out of that thing, and then it like loops up and plugs into your ears. They still work, but I am not able to run with those because the thing kind of bounces around on my neck and the earbuds end up like popping out of my ear. And plus as well, I've caught them on my thumbs before, like on my hands. And when they're kind of plugged in your ear and then you remove them quickly, it is not comfortable and it kind of hurts and can actually, I think, mess up your hearing. Anyway, I wanted to mention that though, because I was thinking about it, and this is an instance where I was afraid I was going to go cheap. But I feel like when it comes to certain electronics like this, it's okay to go a little bit cheaper. Maybe just look for the best deal because, man, technology becomes obsolete quick, especially in like consumer electronics like this. And so in this specific instance, I feel this might be an example of where it makes sense maybe to go cheap instead of going with something higher end. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
Are you calling me higher end?
Am I
a diva when it comes to...
It sounds like you've got a specific brand. You know, Aftershocks. I don't know what those are. It sounds like a type of shock absorber in a nice tennis shoe or something.
Well, no, I just heard from people, a few people that I work with that had Aftershocks, and they were like, they're really great. They really like having the bone conduction instead of just, you know, having earbuds that go in your ear. And I've always found them uncomfortable anyway, putting earbuds straight in my
ear. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I love those.
See, I hate it.
So. Okay.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable. So that's why I'm using the ones that are either over the ear or the bone conduction, because I don't like anything in my ear that deep.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like it just plugged in there to where I can't hear anything else. Because I like to use them as kind of like noise cancellation as well. But that being said, these don't have noise cancellation. These are super cheap, $30, literally. And that's another thing too, is like they're really small and I'm afraid you might end up losing them, you know, like Apple makes their fancy AirPod Pros or whatever. And you're going to spend $230 on a pair of those.
I don't know how those don't fall out of people's ears.
I think they have like little inserts in them where they kind of like plug in. They don't just like rest on the little bowl of your ear.
I know that, but still, if I was like running or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Either way, I'm like, I'm not willing to spend that much money on something that is that small that A, might be obsolete, and B, like that I might end up losing. And the quality isn't bad. That's the other thing. I'm not willing to spend like 8 times more just on something. Like, is it actually 8 times better to go with the Apple product, even though I'm all about Apple products? Like, in this case, no. I'm going to keep rocking those El Cheapos unless they break, and then I'll let you know, because that's when I've gone cheap and it bit me in the butt. So.
Yeah, when it came to getting the Aftershocks, I just waited on a sale because I knew that at some point I'd be able to get them $40-$50 off. And finally it happened. And so I bought them. I was in no hurry, in no rush. And sometimes that's how you score the best deal on something that you actually really want. It's just waiting around.
Very true, man.
For the price to drop. All right, Matt, let's get on to the Friday flight. Let's talk about some of the stories that we found interesting this week. And we'll get to back to school spending in just a second. But before that, I wanted to mention something that I know you're going to be excited about. While a lot of businesses and retailers are having a tough time and some have announced locations closing, Aldi, one of your faves, is thriving.
I love Aldi.
Right? So I just saw a story that 70 Aldi's are set to open in the United States this year.
Wow.
Aldi's in 37 states right now, and pretty soon they're going to add another one. They're going to be in Arizona, and they're just going to be opening up more stores in states that they're already in as well. But for all of our How to Money listeners out in Arizona, you're pretty soon going to be able to shop at the cheapest, best grocery store around.
Yeah, what I'm afraid of is that these Aldi's are going to get too big, because I've been into some of the newer ones, and they are bigger than the one that is closest to where we live. And that's one of the benefits is that they're so small. You can kind of get in and out of there. But yeah, I feel like if you normally shop at like Kroger or Safeway, give Aldi a shot, because you'll definitely will be able to save some money. And another quick tip, if you've never been to an Aldi, make sure you show up with your own shopping bag, because they charge you for shopping bags there. And that's one of the ways that you're able to save money. We use the giant blue IKEA bag because you can fit so many groceries in there.
Nice, nice. Yeah, well, and actually, too, even if you don't decide to shop at Aldi, but an Aldi shows up in your neighborhood, by default, the prices go down at the place that you're shopping because of the increased levels of competition. So yeah, more Aldis all around is just better for everybody, even if you don't shop at Aldi.
Yeah, man, makes sense. All right, let's talk about some of that back-to-school spending. School's almost back, well, sort of, right? Like your kid may not even need a new backpack because they may not be going in person. You know, Zoom calls might be what your school life looks like for the next few months. But the average expected school expenses per family is up this year, you know, which I think is in large part due to needing to purchase another computer, just like you mentioned, Joel. But we want to remind folks that even if you don't feel that you have, you know, the technology, the tools to do online school well currently, you don't necessarily need to buy a super expensive computer. We'd recommend for folks to look at some deal sites like Deal News or Slick Deals, where you can shop for tech bargains ahead of the start of school. And also, too, don't be afraid if you are looking even to buy an Apple product. Don't be afraid to buy the refurbished items on Apple's website directly. Every single Apple desktop computer and laptop device that we've ever purchased, Joel, literally ever, we have purchased refurb. Back in the day, they used to call it refreshed, but now I saw that they just like owned up to it and they're like, it's just refurb. But they've always served us well, and we've always been able to save anywhere between like 10, even upwards of 40%, depending on the item that you get.
Nice. Yeah. And Matt, we actually just spent $90 on some power line adapters so that we can have stronger internet in the back of our house where we're planning on setting up the schooling area. So it's kind of part of our additional costs of school this year. But it should make a big difference in reducing the stress level that we face as we're trying to kind of help our kids succeed at online schooling. And of course, like all of our roles as parents, if we have kids going to school, it's just ramped up in a big way, because most of us are helping out with the learning and helping out with getting our kids into Zoom calls and all that kind of stuff a whole lot more than we typically would be if they're just gone at school, right?
We've got those unpaid teacher assistant positions now.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I understand why spending overall is up, and that's because people need things that they don't typically need in a school year. But there are other things I think you can forego, like a new backpack, because who needs it?
Yeah, well, and Joel, you know, you mentioned that power line adapter that essentially turns your home's electrical system into like a, you know, working Ethernet cable, because you plug in the little adapter into the wall and it boosts the signal. That's a great solution. Something else that we've done is we took an old wireless router and hardwired it to our new one, and using that, we ran it to the other end of our house, and we're able to turn that wireless router into basically just another internet access point. And so it blankets the home in solid internet coverage. And so if you have like a long skinny house, sort of like we do, it allows you to not just have internet in the back of the house, but also in the front where the office is, and the girls need to be on the internet, yeah, during those Zoom calls for sure.
Yeah, and the mesh router, Wi-Fi mesh routers are kind of all the rage these days, but those cost like 3 times as much as what we just got. Yeah. I think it's going to work better. And yeah, you can do it even cheaper if you've got an older router lying around.
Most people do, because like, what are you going to do with those? You know, like I feel like a lot of times they're just like sitting in closets and they're in that same box that you have a bunch of old Ethernet cables, you know?
Yeah, and all my like old cell phones that I forgot to sell. So yeah. Matt, let's talk about tax refunds too. Everyone out there who's filed their tax return, but they did it more recently and you haven't received your tax refund yet, well, just heads up, it could take a while before that refund gets to you. Last week was tax day, delayed by 3 months, of course. And then with COVID shutting down some IRS offices and stimulus checks taking up a lot of resources, tax refunds are going to be slow to get to people this year. So in particular, if you are old school and send in a paper return, you'll be waiting even longer. You can check the status of your refund online. We'll put a link to the IRS website where you can do that in the show notes. But the great thing is that if your refund is delayed, the IRS is going to be paying you interest on those refunds that they weren't able to get out in a timely manner.
It's a nice little perk.
Yeah. So it might be a bummer, and especially right now where so many Americans have a reduced income, that tax refund is something that they're in all likelihood wanting quickly. And it stinks they're going to be delayed, but at least, yeah, there's that silver lining that you might get paid some additional interest on that refund money.
Yeah, and I actually saw that the interest that they're paying is actually pretty great. they're paying 5% for April through June, and then starting in July, they're only paying 3%. But still, 3% is huge compared to what the online high-interest savings accounts, what they're offering. And so it's actually not a terrible thing that that money's sitting there with the IRS. And Joel, speaking of taxes, let's talk about property taxes. Some local cities and towns are offering extensions to pay property taxes. And even some states, like Idaho, they have set up property tax relief funds to provide aid to those who can't currently afford to pay. And so if you're having trouble, you know, paying that property tax bill, be sure to contact your local tax assessor's office. The same thing is true with homeowners insurance. A lot of providers aren't necessarily advertising that this is something that they're doing, but reach out to both your tax office and your insurance company and see if that's something that you can negotiate, because there might be some relief there for you.
Yeah, Matt, we've tried to cover on the show everything that you can do to postpone payments on your mortgage, on property taxes now, and on a car loan. I mean, there are just so many ways that you can get relief because of COVID. And if you think your job is at risk or you have lost your job, it's important to take advantage of as many of these things as you can, because that's going to keep your emergency fund intact. And that's going to allow you to continue to buy groceries and keep the lights on, that kind of stuff. So yeah, everything that Matt and I hear about, we're going to relay it on the show, because we want you to be okay financially. And so much of that means taking advantage of what's being offered. And Matt, on that note, let's talk about getting out of a lease. It looks like the new stimulus bill, it's probably not going to be passed until sometime in August. That remains to be seen, but a lot of people could use a direct payment right now to help out with things like rent. And the numbers reflect that almost 20 million Americans are at risk of eviction before the end of September. That's pretty awful, right? But some states are offering a moratorium on evictions, which of course helps the most vulnerable among us in so many locations. But other states have not extended that deadline. So depending on where you live, your landlord might not be able to evict you. And then in other states, you just don't have that protection. So it's important to know your rights. It's important to see exactly what your state's government has said about eviction proceedings and whether or not your landlord can begin the eviction process if you're having a hard time paying your rent right now.
Yeah, if that's the situation that you are in, it's certainly good to know what the laws are in your state. But then beyond that, next, we would recommend for you to have a frank conversation with your landlord. You know, when tenants don't respond or they ghost their landlord, chances of working things out in a mutually beneficial way like that massively decreases. But if you have been communicating and you've been a good tenant, the chances are that they will do their best to work with you through this difficult time if you're doing your best there. You never know. You might even be able to ask for new terms even.
Yeah, Matt, I don't know what you've seen with your tenants. You know, I tried to communicate early and often with mine throughout the pandemic as things were getting crazy and people were losing their jobs or having unstable income. And one of my tenants was about to sign a new lease and she just felt uncomfortable going into another year-long lease. And I totally understood. But she's been a great tenant and I want to keep her around. So we've gone month to month and we were able to work out a reduced rent amount too. And also we just decided to do away with late fees for the time being, because sometimes she can't pay rent until the 10th or 11th of the month. And that's okay for me right now, because things are crazy, right? And so we all just have to do our best, but landlords and tenants should be working together to find terms that work for everybody moving forward.
Yeah, that's totally true, man. However, you know, if you do find yourself in a position where you can't afford the rent, or you know you need to move somewhere else that's maybe a little more affordable, you can also give a 30-day notice that you are leaving and offer to help your landlord find another suitable tenant. You might receive threats that you'll owe rent for the entirety of the lease that you originally signed and agreed to, but most states require that the landlord work to find a new tenant and mitigate that damage. And so again, this is another situation where it is helpful to know what your specific state's laws are, but know that this is a common rule in most states.
Yeah, Matt, you said mitigate the damages. And what that means is that the landlord is required to try to find a new tenant to take over your lease and to get somebody else living in the house as quickly as possible. Like you said, right, there's a lot that an individual tenant can do to help that process along by listing the property and trying to help the landlord find somebody to fill the shoes that you are in. But it's so important for tenants to know that while you could be on the hook for the rest of the lease, if your landlord isn't able to find somebody to take over, if there is decent demand in your area, this might just be the best move that you have, is turning in that 30-day notice and leaving the property and helping the landlord find somebody else to take over. If you have to move in with friends or family in order to lower your housing costs in a massive way, this is kind of a gamble, but it might be the best thing that you can do for yourself.
Yeah, man. And also the National Low Income Housing Alliance, they have a list of resources state by state that you can turn to for rental assistance if you're struggling right now. And we'll make sure to link to that in our show notes. And on the housing note, let's talk about mortgage rates and some of the nuances you need to consider if you are considering refinancing a mortgage, if that's on the table for you. And we'll get to that right after the break.
All right, we're back from the break. Matt, we were just talking about preventing eviction. And let's talk about like the flip side of housing. For people who own a home or are looking to buy a home soon, mortgage rates kind of just hit a magical level where you can get a mortgage rate below 3%, which is just incredible.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had rates that low. I think it's been like 50 years since we've dipped under the threes.
Yeah, pretty nuts to think you can borrow money at 2.75% or 2.875% for 30 years, right? And there are a lot of people who would be well served by refinancing right now with a bank, credit union, or an online lender. It's so important, though, to think about your specific situation. I had a friend recently reach out. She's going to sell her home in probably less than a year, and she's thinking about refinancing. And I was like, no.
You probably don't.
Not for you. Yeah, because you're going to pay thousands and thousands of dollars in closing costs in order to make that happen. So a good question to ask yourself is, are you planning on being in the home for a while to come, right? Because it doesn't make sense if you're not going to be there typically for at least 3 years, more like 5 years in a lot of cases, depending on what your rate is and depending on what the closing costs are associated with that refi. Because there are all these fees like the appraisal, title fees, and other loan fees like underwriting and origination fees. Those can make refinancing cost prohibitive if you're not getting a big enough cut in interest rate and you're not going to be able to realize it over a long period of time.
Yeah, that's true, man. There are a lot of costs associated with refinancing, but what about no closing cost refinances? Those seem to be gaining more steam right now. And basically the way those work is that instead of paying out of pocket for the closing costs, which can be anywhere between 1 and 4% of the overall loan amount, those costs get rolled into the mortgage balance, or you'll possibly end up with a higher than market interest rate. And so typically you'll get the best overall terms when you opt not to go with a no closing cost mortgage refinance, but it could make sense. In particular, if you don't have immediate access to the cash and you're wanting to jump on those really low rates. But especially, in the situation, Joel, that you mentioned, this would have maybe worked for her. You know, if you don't plan to be in the house very long, opting for, a slightly higher than market rate, assuming that it's still lower than what you currently have, and then going the no closing cost route can make sense because effectively you're not realizing all of those expenses right then and there. It kind of gets spread out over the life of the loan. And if you know you're going to move out soon, well, that's something to consider.
Yeah. And again, knowing that there are multiple flavors of no closing cost mortgages, that's something I actually discussed with her. I was like, if you're just paying an above market rate, but it's lower than what you currently have, then there's like no harm in doing that no closing cost refi. But if it adds a whole lot more to the loan balance at the same time, then it doesn't make sense, right? So something else to consider is whether or not you even qualify to do a refinance. This can be one of the issues that comes up if you're recently unemployed or if you're self-employed, but it's likely affecting a lot more individuals these days because of coronavirus and with banks tightening up on lending standards. So if you've had a salary cut, you're just not making as much as you used to, then it's likely that the debt-to-income ratio that lenders use when deciding whether an applicant qualifies or not, that those ratios are a little out of whack for you. A refi or even a new loan that you might have qualified for a year ago might be out of reach, or the interest rate might not be the lowest that's available on the market, right? And that's a bummer, but there are ways around this for you. For instance, you could bring more money to the closing table if you have that cash on hand. That's just something to keep in mind. If you've been financially impacted by COVID, it's important to kind of have an idea when you're submitting an application for a refi of the terms you think you're going to be able to qualify for based on your income, based on your debt, and based on your credit score.
Yeah, man, that's actually a situation that Kate and I that we're finding ourselves in, right? Being self-employed, we've seen our income drop because guess what, man? There aren't a whole lot of big in-person weddings happening, a lot of small backyard elopements. And we were not expecting to see that impact our ability to potentially refi a property. So in our case, Kenna, we've kind of been talking about potentially looking to maybe even focus on paying down a mortgage of an investment property a little bit early, but that's something we can maybe save for another episode because there's kind of a whole lot of psychological things to kind of talk about when it comes to that as well.
Ooh, I'm not a psychologist, but I'll dive deep. I'll ask the hard questions. Matt, another thing too, I think people are actually doing early. You said you might pay off your mortgage early. Well, other people are actually pursuing buying a house earlier than they otherwise would have because the rates are so low. And I think for a lot of our listeners who have put themselves in a good financial position and they were like, yeah, I might buy a home in the next 2 years, but I don't think right now. With rates being so low, I could understand why they might be interested in accelerating that decision. And I think sometimes like market conditions, right? Getting something on sale or getting a better value, like locking in a 30-year mortgage at 2.875 or something like that can make it worthwhile to bump your plans up. But I think only if your underlying financials are in a really, really good place. That is when I would say, yeah, go for it. Bump up that timeline and make it happen.
That's right, man. And one other thing we wanted to cover, we saw that consumer choice, it is vanishing due to the coronavirus. We're seeing fewer options in lots of different areas, ranging from grocery stores to restaurants and even to auto and motorcycle manufacturers. A lot of this has to do with the fact that there have been just supply chain bottlenecks, you know, and manufacturers' inability to really just get goods and parts to retailers. So, you know, it's partly a business decision as businesses are focusing on just trying to keep up with the high demand. You know, they're looking to just keep the basic items on the shelves. You know, who cares about all the different varieties of, you know, fat-free potato chips or all the different kinds of motorcycles that they used to sell? They're just trying to look to maintain some of the basics. Some of those companies are looking to cut some of those zombie brands, right, that aren't making a whole lot of money. So, you know, don't be surprised if you don't see your Odwalla smoothie juice on the shelves next time you go to the grocery store.
Oh, man, there's one thing that I tried recently. My dad had some at the house. It was a combination of Dr. Pepper and cream soda. That shouldn't exist, man. That's one of those things I think they should cut.
That's so weird.
From the rotation. It was terrible. Apparently, my young nephew really likes it. But from a consumer's point of view, Matt, I think things aren't super stable on the income front for a lot of us, right, as we've been talking about. So it's natural to see a shift towards kind of the basics compared to just the endless options that we used to have. A lot of the country is taking kind of a batten down the hatches approach, and they're finding ways to reduce their spending. And so skipping super niche things like organic toilet paper or whatever altogether, it's one of the natural consequences of economic uncertainty. And it makes sense that certain companies might be limiting their offerings. And part of the reason I think this is actually a really good thing is that decision fatigue is real and it affects us all.
Yeah.
Right? With so much going on all around us in our lives and the economy and just kind of general uncertainty. We're living in atypical times. And I'm sure most folks are actually searching for ways to reduce the number of decisions that they have to make in daily life to provide a little ease and a little peace. And I think having fewer decisions at the grocery store, fewer decisions with the things that are on shelves that we might consider buying is actually better for our brains. I think it's helpful to have fewer decisions.
Oh yeah, man. I'm always looking for ways to put things in my life on autopilot. And plus, you know, the health risks as well. Like, don't forget those. Like, who wants to spend a ton of time in the grocery store debating their different options when you've got like another shopper without a mask on breathing down your neck, you know? We mentioned Aldi at the beginning of the show. Like, that's another one of the huge pros of going with Aldi. Like, you really can be in and out of there in 1 minute. Like, I feel like I mentioned that before in the show. Like, but one of these times, I really am going to time myself. I want to hit go on the stopwatch. I'm going to run in, grab milk and eggs, which is oftentimes what we need, right? Just like to restock for the week and get out of there and see how long it can actually take. But like, I love how small those Aldi stores are because you really can make it happen so quickly.
Yeah, and you realize too, when you're shopping at Aldi, oh, I didn't really need 12 different kinds of ketchup.
You don't need all the different options.
Or 18 hot sauces to choose from. Yeah, exactly. So I agree. That's one of the things I love about Aldi is that you don't have the decision fatigue that comes from going to the grocery store. And it doesn't take nearly as long. Yeah, I'm with you.
You don't have to devote an afternoon of your weekend to going to Costco.
All right, I'm done with you. Our friendship is over.
You wish.
You can't hate on Costco, man, and get away with it. Not on this podcast.
No, they're both great, man. They're just great for different reasons. For instance, I really appreciate that cooler backpack that you guys picked up for us the last time you were at Costco. That thing's been clutch this summer.
Yeah, it's pretty helpful, isn't it?
Super helpful.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. If you want the show notes, including a link to those adapters that I bought, they're going to massively help our Wi-Fi, and the list of resources that can help you if you're struggling to pay your rent, we'll link to those in the show notes as well as other things. And those are available on our website at howtomoney.com.
And if you've been listening to our show and you've enjoyed it, we would love for you to leave us a review over at Apple Podcasts specifically. That really helps us out. And you know, while we're giving Aldi some love, if you haven't left us a review yet, go over there. And when you leave your review, let us know what item you specifically love over at Aldi. I, for one, am a huge fan of their basic vanilla ice cream. It's in this black carton. And I've talked to multiple people, and everybody loves this ice cream. It's literally got, I think, like 6 ingredients, or maybe even like 4. But it's super, like, pure. There's not a whole lot of preservatives in it. And it really is some really dang good ice cream, and we're eating a lot of it this summer. So.
All right, I'm going to say the spicy salami and sharp cheddar cheese.
There you go, man. It's a good combo. As well.
All right, man. That's going to be it. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.